Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this car good, ISO?
Yo, it's good, man.
Yo, I've been getting some bad cars lately, man.
Not for me.
Yo, I need my money.
Yo, you good, Doc. You good. Check it out.
All right, hold on. All right, we good. You're now in the office of Dr. Big Al and my patient,
ISO, on Nick's Therapy.
At 7sitemedia.com.
Guess what? It's ISO, and he's in the office by himself. That's right. Doc took the night off, and I got the keys. But you know we still going to do Nick's therapy because everybody still need that therapy, for real. So now you with your host, ISO. Hope you listening. And this is a free one today because, you know, I'm running the show. So I may charge you, Doc. I may charge you, Doc. And, of course, you know, we got the wonderful point guard on the boards, MVB. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to him. But, yeah.
Yes, sir.
As we start today's topics, you know, this summer, as we run down our whole summer review and what's next coming up for the next Knicks as we approach training camp. Of course, you know, we could talk about how we have an all-rookie who made the all-rookie summer league team, first team, Kevin Knox, you know, looking like the second coming of Kevin Durant. He's showing so much poise at a young age, showing the ability to score, get to the hole, draw fouls, and he's giving New York what we've always been having, that drug of hope. So, you know, Kevin Knox is there showing some promise, and I got to love it. Also, another surprise that we talk about is Mitchell Robinson. Yes, our second-round pick. It's about time that we start getting some gems out there. Can we get some gems? Finally, we get a diamond in the rough, a dude who's athletic, can rebound, can cover shots, can throw it down with two dribbles past the half-court line. I mean, man, he's been phenomenal, and his potential can keep growing and growing and growing. You know, we also had another surprise rookie, Alonzo Chair. And that's what it's about right now. You know, we're rebuilding because Porzingis got hurt. And hopefully that he's coming back better than ever because we need him to come back in order to show these free agents that New York is the place to be. But as we, you know, as we're running it down, I had to think to myself, what do we need? What is the real outlook? And the first thing that comes to my mind is the development of these young rookies, and what we need to incorporate in the training camp. Fizdale has already shown he's paying extreme dividends. If you watched the game between Frank Ntilikina, when he first played the game, he looked like the same old Frank. We thought that there was no improvement. He was gun-shy, very passive in the lane. And I said to myself, if Fizdale's that dude that we say he is, he's going to light a fire on to Frank Ntilikina. Like, what did we talk about? I told you not to be gun-shy. This is the time to let it go. We need you to be aggressive. See how he's going to come out. And I was waiting, anticipating to see if the Fizdale product is what I thought it was. And truth be told out there, big ups. He was, man. He did exactly what I expected. Frank came out the very next game, aggressive, looking for a shot, going to the lane, also finding people. I mean, we already know he's elite defensively. We already know that. We've seen him give Trey Young fits. Just the little time we was playing him, we've seen him give him fits. So we know he's elite defensively. But it was just great to see the change from game to game. The light switch came on, and there's an expectation of how the Knicks should be playing. So the first building block is the culture and the coach. We have a good GM in Scott Perry. You know, the president is what it is. You know, Steve Mills staying from the old regime, and that's still going to leave people skeptical. But I think the fact that Steve Mills, you know, he got the same promises that Phil Jackson got, or was still kind of a little shaky with Knicks fans, that I understand. But Scott Perry is doing his job. Steve Mills wasn't really a GM. He was a president acting like a GM. He wasn't doing the groundwork as a GM should do. Now that he's president and acting in a position that he's more familiar with, you know, making faces, cutting deals, signing checks, our real GM, Scott Perry, has laid down the groundwork. And he's there at the practices. He's there scouting players, going overseas, doing all the little things that we needed to get done that wasn't getting done with Phil Jackson, because he felt he was too above everything for he was above everything in order to make that happen. And pardon me, the results was on the court. But now we have more of a homegrown, small market mentality in a big market. And this is how we grow, people. This is how we grow. And the product, you can start to see it on the floor. When you look at the kind of pickups that we got with Super Mario over from Orlando, think about this. For the second time in a row, people who could have went anywhere came to the Knicks. This is significant in a change of culture. Super Mario could have went anywhere. He could have went to Oklahoma City. He had contenders that he wanted to go there. But the belief in what was going on made him come to the Knicks, because he had the relationship with Scott Perry, because Fizdale interviewed him when he was in the Miami Heat. So there's a relationship there that has developed, and a trust that we never had before as Knicks, as an organization. Fizdale chose us as an organization. That means that we're going in a different direction than what we're usually accustomed to. And this is great. So adding Super Mario, adding to the fact that Fizdale says everybody has to earn their job, except, of course, Porzingis. So even though Kevin Knox is a first-round pick, and even though he's a first-team summer league player, and even though he's 18 and some would, you know, hold off on throwing him to the fire, no. We're in a position right now where it's you kill, you keep what you kill. This is some Riddick shit right here. You understand? This is some real savage survival of the fittest type meaning. So Hardaway, it don't matter what your contract is. If you get outplayed, you ain't starting. And I love that. I love that, because everything is going to be earned from the beginning. And with that being said, it helps with the progression of the young dudes. It keeps the veterans in check. It gets them sharper, not taking for granted that I could just come here and do what I want. No, you have to earn your spot. And when you earn it, you're going to have to keep playing to keep it. I love a coach like that. It's already showing that we're coming out there and we're playing defense. So all these attributes right now has really got me hyped. Really, really got me hyped. And I'm thinking like, yo, when I'm thinking about the future, you can start to see a formulation happening. Now, we can't predict what the Knicks record may be when coming to the regular season. We can't predict that because we don't know officially who's starting and who's not starting. But what there are certain things that we should expect. We should expect to be playing at an up-tempo pace. We should expect our defense to ignite our offense. We should expect effort on a daily basis. If you do those things well with the talent that we have, we should be just missing the playoffs. Just missing the playoffs. If Knox's rate of stardom supersedes his age, then we might be fighting for an eighth seed. But that's all I expect with the talent that we have right now. I don't expect us to make a big leap. I don't expect us to make any brash moves, because there are a lot of things that can anticipating coming in the 2019 season. I'm just thinking about what is it that we may need for us to progress, you know? Kevin Knox, man, when you think about it, I don't need to re-harp, but I have to, because this is the first time. It's not the first time, but it's like the droplets, man. It's like the droplets of a faucet, and it's starting to float. And when you think about it, when you think of all the players that they said that could be Kevin Durant, I think we may have him. I honest to goodness believe that we may have him. We may have the second coming of Kevin Durant. They say he's 6'9". When I looked at him, he don't look 6'9". He looks like he's 6'10". And he could be growing because he's only 18 years old. I mean, the way that he shoots, his ability to get to the hole. I mean, I talked about this in the beginning of the show, but I have to re-harp on it, because when you think about this, this dude has star potential. Star potential, man. And when you think further down the line with pairing him with Porzingis and with other potential free agents, this is how you get a super team. This is the best way to get a super team, is by drafting right and then obtaining superstars along with those draft picks, so that the pay scale aligns for you to reign for a long time. And that's what happens. This is what can happen, because by the time Kevin Knox reaches his full prime, we can have a turnover. We can have a turnover. Porzingis will be in the mix of his prime, of his height. By the time Kevin Knox ascends to getting near his prime, Porzingis will be in his prime. Not on the downside, he'll be right in the middle. And this is how you reign. This is how you reign supreme, man. You know, his father, you know what I'm saying, his father used to play football, man. So understanding that contact and the mentality of wanting to be great, you know, a lot of kids that played football that switched over to basketball have a different mentality, like Iverson. When you play football and then you leave the game of football to go to basketball, that contact part doesn't affect you as much as it would a person playing strictly basketball, a la LeBron James, because they're so used to the contact of football that the basketball contact is minuscule to them, because you're not tackling them to the ground, not you know, unless you're in the air or something like that, but just the overall contact, you're used to it. You can see that in a kid 18. I realistically, when I looked at Summer League, Kevin Knox got to the line more than DeAndre Ayton, more than Marvin Bagley, more than most of the picks that were picked ahead of him, but especially the big men. That's phenomenal. That's phenomenal. He's only 18. So if you can learn to get to the hole now, it's only going to get easier. And, you know, to me, I always say Summer League is more reminiscent of the old NBA than the NBA is right now. Because the NBA right now, of course, you're going to have more elite athletes and more seasoned veterans. But as far as the gameplay, they let you get away with more choppy stuff in the Summer League where you're getting beat down and able – you have to persevere to get what you need to get. So to see him succeed in that situation is great. Also got to shout out the little guard that we got from Arizona, Alonzo Ted. He was doing his thing too as well. Passing the ball, scoring, you know what I'm saying? He's going to put a lot of pressure on the guards that we have already. And that's the thing, man. When I'm looking and I'm trying to project where the Knicks should finish, I'm looking at a strong ninth seed. I'm sorry, people. We need to take the steps to progression. You know, that the mentality of trying to tank to get the next highest draft pick isn't great for the culture of winning. That's what people have to understand in their heads. You can't tell people, oh, we need to suck again, because if you're sucking, then how are you going to get free agents to come? No, you need to show that you're ascending so that these free agents can come over here and take us to the next level. Now, what do I expect? Mario to give us some good minutes. I really don't want Hardaway to start. I really don't, because he doesn't play the kind of defense that we need to be a starting two guard. It's going to be a battle between Moutier, Trey Burke, and Frank. Honestly, I want Frank as my starting two guard over Hardaway, even though Hardaway shoots the ball more, whatever. But I just want an established defensive presence at my two guard position. I'd rather have Trey Burke or Moutier. Give me Trey Burke. Maybe start Trey Burke, unless Moutier's jumper has extremely improved. But I'd rather have Trey Burke start at the one, give us a scoring punch at the point guard position who can keep the defense honest and be able to distribute the rock with everybody else. Have a Frank Ntilikina at the two guard position. Mario already says he's already comfortable playing the four. At 6'8", 6'9", have Kevin Knox start at our three. You know what I'm saying? I guess you could probably start Cornette, because I'm not trying to give Noah any burn, because it's not, regardless of the contract, he's just not for today's NBA. He's a liability, and plus he's been injured. So you give me Cornette until Porzingis comes back, and let's rock. Have Hardaway come off the bench with all the rest of the players to bring some offensive punch, but at least we can establish some defensive presence. That's what we need. That's what the Garden needs. The Garden needs to be hard again. Dudes don't need to come over here and think it's time to be showtime at the Apollo. No, it needs to be hard, the way that Ewing and the Knicks defended the Garden. When dudes come here, we need dudes to be shook. For real. As I scroll down right now in my mental notes. MVB, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here, God. What's good, my brother?
Chilling, man. Do you think
sounding
we should be contending?
Good.
What are you saying?
I said you sounded good out there, man. I know Doc won't be too upset that you broke through the doors and was able to get in there and got someone on the house.
Hey, you know it, son. I may use my charge card to try to get it back. But
I'm not mad at that.
I'm thinking about it, and I think really the key to our season is the development of Frank Ntilikina.
You took the words out of my mouth.
I think
that's exactly that,
I mean, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, if Kevin Knox exceeds expectation, it does well for us. But I think the key to our season is Frank. If Frank is already elite defensively. He ranks in the top percentile in pick and roll defense. He's a great one-on-one defender. Of course, you know what I'm saying? He has to grow in, he still has to grow in some size and everything. But his development as far as an overall player and his ability to score is going to be so key. Because if he can give us a consistent 12 to 15 a game with his defense, that's going to be able to put the Knicks in a different stratosphere when free agents come. Because then with a defensive presence like him, I mean, think about it. Let's just say in speculation, we get Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving, right? You start Kyrie at the one, of course. You can start Frank Ntilikina at the two, defensive presence. Have Jimmy Butler at the three, Kevin Knox at the four, and Porzingis at the five. The wingspan and the defensive presence from two to five position would be ridiculous. Would be ridiculous. Also, with Butler, Knox, Porzingis, and Kyrie all being able to shoot the ball, you'd have the best of both worlds. The best of both worlds. So Frank really needs to take a step further to ascending into the player that we need him to be. He needs to be a real deal starter. Not a star, but a starter. He needs to be a starter.
ISO, let me just remind the callers out there, if you're out on the line and you want to get on, press 1 to get in the queue to speak to ISO.
Yes, please, press 1. You know what I'm saying? Usually Doc would be saying, you know what I'm saying, for all callers out there, it's 563-999-3716. And I would just say press 1 to get into the queue. I forgot Doc, but Doc ain't here, so, you know, good looking out on the assist.
For sure.
Some news came down the other day, and Doc sent me a memo asking about, you know, the impact that a DeRozan-Leonard trade has on the Knicks. Here's my thoughts on this. Just a brief synopsis. This bodes very well for the Knicks, because it opens an option. See, with Leonard being in the East Coast now, he'll have a chance to survey the East Coast. So any chance that Leonard is not in the Lakers' hands for a whole year gives us an opportunity to at least make a pitch. That's it, you know? That's all you want is an open pitch to a player. You know, if he got traded to the Lakers this year, then obviously there's no chance. We have no chance of trying to get Kawhi Leonard or making a pitch at Kawhi Leonard. But the fact that he's at the Raptors, you never know. You never know, you know? His peoples are from North Orange, New Jersey. And Kyrie's peoples are from South Orange, New Jersey. So you never know. It's always an opportunity that he's on our side, that he may just say, hey, you know what? I like being the king in the East Coast, maybe not in Toronto. And it just gives us an opportunity to probably crack a shot at him. So as far as the trade goes, it definitely shakes up the power struggle in the East, and you know it just gives the Knicks more things to worry about. Also, you know that Atlantic Division crown is gonna be hard. Woo! You know, we got the Knicks got the damn near the toughest division in the East Coast. You got Boston, you got Philly, you got Toronto. Man, all in our division. That's hard. That's crazy. But it is what it is, man. We got to go through the gauntlet. One thing I'd be happy for is that I'd be happy that Knox early out will be getting a taste of what elite defense would be on him with Kawhi Leonard playing for the Raptors. He'll see Kawhi Leonard four times as opposed to two times if he was in the West. So I'm happy for that because this will help his improvement and help accelerate what he needs to work on. You know, not even just keep harping on this dude, Kevin Knox, but I just had to think about, do you know this dude watched every summer league game, even after he was done? This dude is a baller. Not in the sense of a money sense, but in the sense of this dude really loves basketball. And that's crazy to me. Like, you know, everybody makes the league don't love basketball like that. When you look at Kevin Durant, makes about as much money as anybody on the Golden State Warriors. When it was time for him rocking in the finals, what did he look like? He looked like a baller. Same sweats. People were cracking jokes about that, but think about that. The focus, he only cares about basketball right now. You know, where everybody else is worrying about their brand, their Instagram, putting out records, whatever fashion shows or whatever this and that. This dude comes to the game like, yo, son, I'm rocking sweats. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. And that's what this dude's bringing. This dude stayed. When everybody left, my G. Everybody, the Knicks is gone. We got eliminated. Dudes went their separate ways. My man stayed at the summer league to keep watching. He's like, nah, son, I'm just trying to watch the competition, see what I can learn, see who I'm going to be playing against. Yeah, this is who we got. And all y'all fake-ass fans who booed my man, talking about y'all want Michael Porter, you know where Michael Porter's at right now? He under the knife for spine surgery. Yeah, that's who these fake ass fans. That same fake ass fan who booed Porzingis in them and showed booing Kevin Knox. Yo, man, if I was Kevin Knox, I'm like, nah, shorty, you don't get no love from me. After you boo Porzingis and you want to try to come up in my face trying to boo, talking about you don't know basketball. You don't know basketball. Dudes want Michael Porter, my man, looking like a wheelchair patient coming down them steps on draft day. Hell no. We got the steal of the draft. We got the steal of the draft. Believe that. And when everybody all said and done, they're gonna be like, what the hell were we thinking? What did we not see? Because this dude can catch and shoot like Klay Thompson, put it on the ground. Man, Let me stop talking about Kevin Knox. I'm going to turn it to the Kevin Knox show right now. You know what I'm saying? I want to talk about a topic that's kind of crazy. Recently, I read an article about Tim Hardaway. He talked about how there were points in his life where he wanted to quit basketball because, you know, he got sent to the G League and stuff like that. Right? And what I find amazing about this article is that the dude has gone to he's gone through his lows, right? You got drafted, you're doing your thing, you got down to your lows, the G League, you came back up, you know what I'm saying, you was playing well for Atlanta, came back to the Knicks, got this contract. What happened, man? It baffles me, right? And not to put anybody down, because everybody goes through their struggles, but it baffles me that a story comes out about this now, and you see a way a dude plays on the court. Like, I don't criticize anybody because I'm not above anybody. Obviously, you're a professional athlete, and you've made it that far, and all respect due. But my thing about it is, usually when an article is being put out like this, you're not seeing a guy getting jaded by some legend's son. And my whole angle with this is that don't tell me this, don't show me this article, and you're not gonna give me your all. You're not giving me your all on both sides of the floor. You know, you're not being the leader that you should be. I mean, there's so many times during the course of the season that you disappeared. If you can't score, you don't do anything. And it just goes to show how catered these young kids are coming into the league, that, you know, they've been given so much so early that when it's getting taken away, their mental state and their mental makeup isn't as strong. Mental health is nothing to play with. I give respect to all players that go through depression, know how to handle depression, everything, because that's real. That's nothing to play with. But if you're going to come out with an article like this, I don't need to see you getting jaded in the summertime by some kid that's not even in college yet. That's a sophomore in high school, junior in high school. I'm sorry. You got to give me your all, bruh. You got to give me your all, man. Because that article to me, you know what I'm saying, is telling me you're exposing your lows because now you want to show me your highs. Well, you got to show me your highs, because if dudes is taking your spot this year, you may be writing another article, bruh. You may be writing another article. And I'm not trying to be cold, nothing like that, but the game has changed, man. We need to stop babying dudes. You're getting $1 million to play basketball, bro. This is not a doctor saving lives. This is not a person that's working with the youth to stop gang violence and stuff like that, risking their life every day to have a direct impact on the streets. No, bro, you get paid to put a basketball in the hole. I'm sorry. I failed to see the full spectrum of what you're feeling. I understand that you want to accomplish something as a professional in a professional world to provide for your family and everything, but you've made millions already, bruh. You've made millions. And if you're not succeeding at what you're doing, then you're not applying the jewels that were given to you from the beginning. You know, you have a Hall of Fame worthy type pops who played the game. So there should be no reason why you shouldn't be ascending to the heights that you need to have. The thing about it is that in today's game, a lot of these players, some of the players that don't succeed the way they're supposed to succeed with having a father that's in the NBA is because those are the ones that are not taking in verbatim what the pops are saying and applying it. Klay Thompson's applying everything that his pops has told him. Verbatim. Kyrie's pops, who played briefly in the NBA, has applied everything that his pops said. Verbatim. When you look at who else can I say? When you look at Porzingis, he's applied everything that his pops, his moms, and his brothers said verbatim. That's why certain players who have professional players in the league, they succeed because they're listening to what their pops said verbatim and applying it. And it's the ones that's neglecting what their pops are saying that have some talent on their own but don't want to listen to what their pops are saying, can get there but can't finish the deal. And that's the problem, because there's no way Tim Hardaway Sr. is my pops and I don't have a handle. It makes no sense. Granted, him having a Jimmy, that should be no doubt. But him not having a handle? How do you not have a handle? Word. No, seriously, YG. Like, how do you not have a serious handle? And Tim Hardaway Sr. is your pops. The dude who had one of the most lethal crossovers in the history of the game. That you, son, you ain't, yo, you think I wouldn't be UTEP's two-stepping dudes all day? For real, all day. But it just goes to show what dudes apply. Here's the thing, it's so funny. Dudes will say, yo, Kyrie Irving layup game and handles is the sickest since Rod Strickland. But don't know that Rod Strickland is his godfather. Think he's been listening? Damn right. And that's the problem. So I wish you the best because, you know, you playing for my Knicks. I wish you the best, but, you know, I don't want to hear about your struggles about playing basketball the second year of a 4-year contract that you got paid, bruh. You know what I'm saying? This ain't the time for that. You talk that when you're on the verge of making the playoffs and your ass is playing real well. You know what I mean? Then you give me that. I don't want to hear that right now, because if your spot's being taken, you better drop another article, bruh. For real. You better drop another one, because you lack to listen. You know what I'm saying? You don't listen to the people that's trying to tell you what to do. Your pops, if you listen to your pops, your pops would have had your game where it needed to be. You know what I'm saying? You can't argue if you ain't better than your pops. You know what I'm
callers out there. Callers out there, please press 1 to get in the queue, to get on the mic and have this convo with ISO.
Yeah, man. That's something amazing to me. I'm really hyped about Super Mario, man. I can't say it enough. I'm really hyped about Super Mario. I'm hyped the way we've integrated everything with our callers, man. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of callers, we got somebody that's on the mic. Last 4 digits, 7472. 7472.
What's up, caller? You're speaking with ISO. Ain't no doc today on Nick's Therapy. What's up?
Yo, what's up? How you doing, fam? Everything is good. I was listening in. Everything's prestigious.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my brother.
Please. No, you know, I was listening to what you were saying. You know, I'm thinking that our bench is going to be one of the most prestigious benches that we have.
Right, right.
For like since 1996, I would say. So that's taking it back.
Way back, bro.
Man,
no,
I'm talking
I mean,
about for real when we had Starks and other people on the team, Harper.
I mean,
like,
you. I mean, don't get it wrong though. Our bench wasn't that bad the year that we lost to Indiana with Melo. We had some potency with J.R. Smith and some dudes coming off the bench.
Right.
But I like the direction where we headed, man. We got these young gunners, man.
We have a young team. But I'm thinking, yo, do we have any more salary cap for a major star?
The thing about it is, we're not ready right now, and I think that's the best part about everything that's happening right now. It's a recognition that we're not ready. We're trying to build the culture to make sure that this is the place that can take. A superstar can come and take it to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Build the foundation and make sure the bricks are aligned so that now when we pour that cement with a free agent, we could build something, man.
Yeah. So, all right. So, where do you think we're going to be at? What spot?
So we like I was saying, I think maybe fighting for maybe the last seed. You know what I'm saying? The effort is not going to be there. It's not because of that.
Right.
Because the effort, the defense is going to be there. But the inexperience, the talent that we got to lean on, and then basically, I don't know at what juncture Porzingis is coming back and what we do before Porzingis comes back. If we have an immaculate type record where we only got set amount of losses and we're in the hunt before Porzingis gets back, then there's a chance that we could, you know what I'm saying, fight for an A spot. But that's all you want right now is to fight for an A spot, get a draft pick, maybe turn that draft pick with another player that we have on our roster, sign and trade, get one all-star through that. And then get the other all-star through free agency. And, you know, shake and move, man.
So what you think about Kyrie coming to the team?
I think he's coming.
Me too, bro. That would make it extremely prestigious. New York is going to be on fire.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you why he's coming. You know, today they just signed Marcus Smart, right?
They did.
Yeah, they signed Marcus Smart. Now, you know what I'm saying? You'll be the first one to hear this first. So if it happens, you can say, yo, ISO Ben told me this in the summertime. Now, all right, check it out. You already have a max contract with Hayward. Like I told everybody, they're not letting the white bread go in Boston. That's no way, no shape, or form. He's staying. Tatum staying. Brown staying. Rozier is under, will get a rookie contract extension by the end of next year. So will Brown. Now, they're not going to be able to have the problem that Boston has is that they have too much money. They have too much talent to pay everybody. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Uh-huh.
Horford is going to be in the last year of their contract. They're going to need Horford. Horford is an integral piece to what they do down low, being able to
right.
distribute everything. Mark my words. They're going to take a pick, one of their picks that they have in the upcoming draft or whatever, and they're going to take that and they're going to trade that for Damian Lillard.
Oh, that's interesting.
The reason why I say that, they're going to let Kyrie, like I said, Kyrie's a rental right now. Kyrie's a
yeah.
rental. Because they're not, Kyrie's going to want the max. Kyrie's going to want the max. Boston's not going to be able to pay him the max. So,
and how much would the max be, you say?
You're looking at upwards towards close to the 200 mark. Not 200, but close to
right.
the 200 mark. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because he's already been there for a year. You know what I'm saying? No, matter
right.
of fact, he got traded. Matter of fact, he got traded. So with him being traded, you know what I'm saying, and depending on what he's going to do this year. And this is what's crazy, too. Remember this,
mm-hmm.
that a lot of players are going to be affected by all this talent right now. Haywood is already paid. Brown's going to want to get paid. Rozier's
right.
going to want to get paid. So minutes
yep.
have to be distributed. You
yeah.
feel me?
Minutes yeah,
gonna have 100%. To, minutes going to have to be distributed. So they're not going to want to pay Kyrie. What they can do, they can take some picks, trade Damian Lillard, who's still going to be under contract. Portland's going to give that up after this year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Portland's going
right.
to give up after this year. They're not going to trade Kyrie this year because they're going to want him to come off the books.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And plus, Kyrie's injury prone. But we'll take a chance on
that.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? We'll take a chance. Yeah, we'll take a chance on that. Kyrie comes to the Knicks because
right.
he wants to be the face. He left Cleveland to be the face of the franchise. He's not the face of the franchise in Boston. Brad Stevens
right.
and Jason Tatum are the face of the franchise.
They hold it down. Yeah, that's correct.
You know what I'm saying? So Kyrie coming, B. Kyrie coming.
I see that. Yo, he's on his way.
Yeah.
And like, they'll be going to the playoffs. He'll probably
yeah.
do a
oh.
championship again.
Yo, let me tell you something. And if Kyrie comes, you know Jimmy coming too, because Jimmy wants to play with him.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Just squad.
Right. So the way I see it happening is that Jimmy or Kyrie, they'll both come. They could take like a whatever, you know what I'm saying, a 2-year deal or 1-year deal with option, opt out, and then get the max the next the first. You know what I'm saying? They could get the
yeah.
max further around when the Noah contract and the Tim Hardaway contracts come off the books. So. Yeah, baby. Hey, not this year. Next year, we're going to be popping.
Yes.
We're going to be popping.
You know what? Nothing for nothing. I was thinking about getting rid of Noah.
No, but that's what I'm saying. We got him for 2 years. We got him for this year and the next year. So what I'm figuring.
Huh? He got to show his skills. He got to show his skills the way he was on the Bulls. Like, he got to really show himself.
It's rap for him, dog.
So this seems like he's losing his game. Like, he's not the fuck he used to be anymore. Missing shots from him, the free throw. He threw the ball somewhere else. Like, he was high as hell.
Yo,
no,
let me tell
fucking
you.
Me out.
Yo, fam, he's, especially in today's NBA, he's a wash. He's a wash, B. Nah, seriously, man.
What?
Seriously, there is nothing, our best bet is not to play this dude, make him sit, hope that he gets vexed enough that he wants a buyout. You know what I'm saying?
Right. That's true.
That's the word. Because, I mean, there ain't nothing you can do, man. Ain't nothing you can do with this cat.
Nothing at all. He's not showing any type of production at all like he used to.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
He's all right.
he
could definitely fit the spot, but I'm like, come on, bro, you ain't doing shit.
and plus, what makes it even worse, he probably might have got a little burn because Porzingis was out this year. Well, shit, nigga,
yeah.
We giving that shit to Mitchell Robinson. Word, we giving that to Mitchell Robinson.
It was 12, it was 16 tonight.
man? Why are we going to give it to you when you can't run up and down the floor when we got some
right.
tall dude who can cover the three-point line, a next man, still
right.
come up to get a block, run down,
exactly.
catch an alley-oop? Come on,
yep.
son.
Like, it's shit. He got to be benched.
Yeah, son. For real, we not. Yo, sit down, stay in street clothes until you get too vexed and talk about this buyout.
Right. Sure. I like you heard of some shit like this chip.
Hey, man. ain't nothing you could do for us, B. You fighting with coaches.
Like, right. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, why didn't we get rid of this dude? Like,
he ain't
shit,
stupid.
We should have got rid of him. Word.
But it's too much. It's too much bread, man. It's too much bread. It's too much bread. We always do like $36 million, man.
So long as we have a squad that we can, you know, Sam, at least put some fire under these Lakers, under Golden State, you know, even the Blazers. I mean, all of these dudes that got a prestigious squad right now. We got to be up there to match with them.
Yeah, I mean, I think we coming, man. We coming because we got the main thing. Here's the main thing of why the Knicks are going to be good. And if you look at any real organization that's really playing well, that's going championship material, you
right.
see, discount the owner because the owner count, you know what I'm saying, dudes can say whatever about Dolan unless he intervenes with the trade. But let's talk about management, right? Management, not ownership, but management, right? If you have management that knows what they're doing and they got a tight relationship with the head coach, that's where it starts off. You know what I'm saying? Steve
right.
Mills, Scott Perry, and Fizdale are all together. They're all together in summer league. They all together in picking out players, doing this,
right.
making moves. Once you have that kind of unity, now
right.
there's no dissension. You know what I'm saying? It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Oh, the GM wants the GM wants the head coach to play this player. Head coach don't
right.
like this player that the GM picked. You know what I'm saying? All that
mm-hmm.
dissension right there. That's the first team that got to work. That's the first
mm-hmm.
team. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
if we got dudes like Hardaway that ain't rocking, head coach
right.
need to step. Head coach needs to step to the GM and be like, yo. You need to do something to get this dude out of here.
Man.
You know?
Yeah, family.
That's what I'm
yo,
saying.
He's just ISO for real.
Yeah, son. It, yo,
oh.
here's a great sign I'm going to give it to you right now. A great sign. When we draft day, right? Draft day when it was time and the GM was like, yo, who do we like? And Fizdale had to practice and he saw that Knox was getting in dudes grilling
oh,
all that in scrimmages.
Knox.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Fort Knox, when he was doing
yeah.
his thing, he was like, yo, Fizdale was like, yo, son, this is the dude I want. It's like, say no more. Say
right.
no more.
Right.
That's off what Fizdale wanted. See what I'm saying?
Right. And that kid is nice, man.
Son, he's our future, 16, man.
Yeah, he's going to give us 16, 12, 16. He's going to be a double.
Yeah, now, on the rail, I say this year right now, especially the way the NBA is set up, man, he gonna
right.
give us. I think he gonna give us like six. I look at 18 a game, B.
I agree. I come to agreement with you, bro. I come to agreement with you because he's nice. He can know how to drive. He
yeah.
has control. You know, for his age, he's already like, you know, what I'm saying, adult.
Yo,
you know what he's doing.
It, not only in his game, but in his size, B. Like, God damn.
Right.
You look at, yo, if you look at him, if you look at an old picture of Kevin Durant, and you look at this dude,
right.
he looked like Kevin Durant when he first went to OKC.
Oh, shit.
Not Seattle.
Right.
Like,
right.
He big. He got some size on
star.
Him.
Right. That's a future star right there.
Yeah,
he
yo,
needs
so
that.
He got all the tools, man. He got all
yep.
the tools, man. And finally, yo, you know what I've been screaming for? Finally, we got somebody that could jump out the gym.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, finally. We've been
yeah.
having Matt, you know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. Porzingis got some hops with him, too. But, I mean,
right.
you know, with Mitchell Robinson and Kevin Knox, finally. Yeah, son. Catch some hawks. Just catch some boomies on dudes, man.
That's what's going to happen. Catching posters.
Yes, man. I didn't get that in a long time, B.
Yeah,
last time I was
posters.
Catching boomies was Spreewell.
Yes, indeed. Oh, shit, B. You taking it back.
Yeah, but it's like you need that kind of aerial attack to get the crowd hype, man. Everything can't
definitely.
Be threes and all that. And Tim, you know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong, man. You know, Tim tries, but he just don't do it for me. I'm sorry.
And
he don't do it
Nets.
For me.
Those dudes over here got Dwight Howard. Now he's washed too.
Yeah, but you know, they all right, man.
I don't think he did anything for us though.
You know,
he can't help the Knicks. I don't think.
Nah. The thing about it is that these dudes, the way the game is being played, man, you gotta have skills. The game is about skills nowadays. It's just not about big and strong and all that shit. It's about skills. The dudes is going up and down the floor, shooting the J's, know how to put it on the ground, doing all this other shit. So if you know what I'm saying, if you're a center like that, yo, you just gotta pick and roll, roll to the hoop, catch alley oops and rebound. It's the only thing big centers could do.
I think Porzingis is gonna be ready.
I think he has to be. We can't rush him.
Yeah.
We can't rush him back. But he gotta play this year, man. He gotta play this year.
I was watching him on YouTube when he was training and getting himself together. The way he was dribbling with the elastic bands around him with the pressure.
Yeah.
Yo, he was looking extremely healthy, bro. Like he's getting ready.
I think here's the thing about it. What's crazy about it is as soon as we have the players that he can be in, because he has to all it is with Porzingis right now is getting his strength up. You know what I'm saying? Like if his game doesn't change from now to the rest of his career, we're good. We're good with his game because he can put it, you know what I'm saying? He could play with his back to the basket, shoot, you know what I'm saying? Shoot left hand, right hand, lay up, dunk, rebound, do all that. He just got to get his strength up because dudes give him too much body. You know what I'm saying? That's the only thing that fuck up his game is when
the little dudes out there be throwing them down.
You know what I'm saying? Get them legs strengthened up. Get them arms beefed up, man.
Bulk up a little bit.
Yeah, but his game,
it's unbelievable.
Son,
my God.
Yo, I'm gonna tell you something like
from
this.
Anywhere it seemed like.
Word up! This dude is white, and I tell you that little performance that he put on in the beginning of the season last year, I thought I saw the second coming of Patrick Ewing, my G. I wasn't that hyped for a big man. Like, my man was throwing up 30s like it was nothing. Like, it was nothing, man. Word. The only thing I'm kind of sad about is that,
what's that?
The way we handle shit, man.
Right.
The way that we handle shit, real talk, you know, I know this dude got mad deficiencies on defense, but, man, if we would have had Melo last season, B, the way Porzingis was playing, we could have made the playoffs, man.
Yes, we definitely would have.
We could have made the playoffs, B.
I blame
Phil
Jackson for a lot of things. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, son. It was just the only thing is that if Melo would have took a mentor's role and let Porzingis eat, like, your son, I got to do my thing now. Let me do my thing, you know.
Right.
But I mean, a lot of, you know, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. I'm just hoping for our best, man.
I got to make some moves, but it was an honor building with you, and it's a prestigious show that you have right here.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the love. Trust me, I appreciate the love, man.
Real, this was awesome, B. You know, it's a very prestigious. And keep it going, bro. Keep it going.
I will, man. As long as I got brothers like you showing me that love,
yes.
I'm here
yes,
for you, man.
All the time. And keep it going, B. I'm definitely going to be listening in.
All right, my brother.
All right, man. Have peace, bro.
Peace, brother. Have
right,
a good
now.
Night.
You too now. Later.
Later. Yeah, man. You know, I love talking to my Knicks fans, man. You know, anybody else out there, please press 1, enter the queue so we can build, talk about these Knicks. You know, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing when somebody can give you hope, man. Fizdale gives us hope and perspective. Knox gives us hope and perspective. If Frank comes and advances game and shows that he got that hunger, everything is aligning correctly, man. Everything's aligning correctly, you know. This summer has been a real surprise. I gotta say, this summer has been a real surprise. I never thought that I'd have this much optimism coming into the new season, considering our situation with our franchise player being hurt. But the ability to say that we have gotten another one, possibly, is, I mean, when have we ever got it right twice as far as draft picks? Patrick and Mark Jackson? You know? I think that's the only thing I could think of. And that was a considerable amount of time separated between when Patrick got drafted and when Mark got drafted. Word. That's the only times I can think in my head that the Knicks drafted correctly. For real. So, with the same regime. And for them, even though it's a new regime, but Steve Mills was there when they drafted Porzingis, and for us to get Knox, now, franchise-altering players, man. You got to love it. You got to love it. Yeah. You know, callers, I see y'all out there. And, you know, it was a great show. I love talking about the Knicks. I mean, you know, even in the mix of no real action going down right now, to be able to still be able to talk and what was going through my head as Doc was in here on the free therapy, it was wonderful to talk to y'all. Doc will be back next week, hopefully, and I get a free one free of charge. Doc, if you're out there, I'm going to leave my bill on the desk, all right? I'm going to leave my bill on the desk. But, you know, for Doc, for ISO, for MVB on the boards helping me out, for all my callers listening and all my callers that I've been building with, I'd like to thank you, man. This is ISO signing off on Knicks Therapy. You can catch all these shows and past shows on 7 Sight Media, on Instagram, Facebook. Follow us. We're here. Doc, I'm billing you. Peace.